Okay, Sichos Aran Pei Aleph. So Rabbeinu is talking about a theme that we've been talking about. If you remember in Ayin Ches, we spoke about how every person has an inherent sense of fairness. People are good. People are inherently good. Remember we told the story of Rabbi Nachman saw the officer who took advantage of the people, and they bribed him once, and they bribed him twice. By the third time, he's like, okay, it's not fair for me to rip you off again. Is that inherent sense of fairness that everyone has. And then last time in Ospei, we spoke about surrounding yourself with a proper environment, having good friends, right? The power of others and the hashpa that they have on you. So continuing that theme, same yisod of the people and the way that we're influenced, positively or negatively. So Rabbeinu today talks about the danger of sarcasm, Leitzanis, right, mockery, and philosophy. Okay, so let's see. B'nei Adam heimonim gedolim mod. People sometimes are the greatest obstacle. Other people. The hashpa of other people sometimes becomes the biggest blockage in my avodas Hashem. V'da im haya ha'adam levado v'lo haya etzlo b'nei Adam acherim lemano. If a person was by himself, with no one else to get in his way, no one else to put ideas in his head, values in his head, things that he should want or should need, right, things that he desires, all the ideas that come to us from the world. If we were just by ourselves, we would still have all of our human insecurities and confusion, all of the thoughts that overwhelm the human mind. Yes, all of that would be true, but, says Rabbeinu, afal piche, says Rabbi Nachman, but you figure out how to work through it. You know why? Because your internal GPS knows how to get to where it's supposed to go. Would you still have taivas? Of course you still have taivas. You're still a human being. Would you still have insecurities? Would you still have struggles? Of course. But bevada, without all of the background noise, eventually you'd work it out. It's a process. Life's a process. It's a journey. Kisof kol sof hayamate tamid lederach ha'emes. Because the inherent nature of a Jew to find the Derech HaEmes is just, that's his Metzius. That's who we are. So would we get a little sidetracked? Would we get a little lost along the way? Absolutely. But we'd find our way. What's our internal response to an Aveira? Even if we did Aveiros, we would feel what? We would feel embarrassed of our averos. We would feel regret over our averos. Yisov kol davar, says Rabbeinu, hayanishar etzal le'emes, we would remain by the truth. We wouldn't deceive ourselves. We wouldn't make a shita that there's no God. We would sometimes pretend God can't see us, because that's what we do. We do averos. We have taivas. We do wrong things because we're human. But we would never buy into a worldview that denies Hashem. We would never pretend that it's not a big deal that we do averos. We would know it's a big deal, and we would feel bad. And eventually we would get better at it. Kids stop me, some high school kids just stop me right now. You daven sometimes at Armenian Friday night. So he said, what should I do? My Yitzhahara sometimes seems stronger than my Yitzhar Tov, and I want it to be the other way around. It's a good question. I said, say to your Yitzhahara, I know who you really are. I know you're really on my team. You're really a Malach Hashem, and you want me to be Matzliach, and you're just an actor in a play or in a movie, and your job is to try to get me to mess up. But really, you want me to be Matzliach. So when I kind of wink at the Yitzhahara and call him out and say, I know what you're doing. You're trying to, you really want me to, Hashem gave you a tough job to try to seduce me to do averos, but you don't really want me to do averos. So if I don't listen to you, I'll be happier, you'll be happier, Hashem will be happier. So I said, try that and see if it works. There's an inherent, sometimes the Yetzer Hara seems stronger than the Yetzer Tov, but a person will work it out eventually. Aval kishiyesh b'nei adam ha'mabalbalim. But what happens when all of the noise of the world, the background noise, the bilbul, when all of the people who cause all sorts of bilbulim in my mind and in my heart get in the way? The hainu kisha adam mischaber chas v'shalom le'eza chachamim b'daitam. When a person attaches himself to someone who thinks, what? I have a shita, I can explain. I have a philosophy. I have a deeper understanding than anyone else. I have it all figured out. I'm going to show you why your that response when you do an Avera, which Rabbi Nachman is saying, is your neshama saying, I shouldn't have done that, and I feel embarrassed, and I have regret. No, let me explain to you how that feeling evolved. Let me explain to you how, you know, historically, right, that feeling evolved. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with Yetzer Tov or Yetzer Hara. Let me explain to you based on some philosophical approach why you shouldn't be embarrassed, why you shouldn't feel regret, why you shouldn't, etc., etc. O lekat leitzim. That's what we're really going to talk about. Or the group of the leitzim, the scoffers, the mockers, the people who poke fun, the people who steal your Yirat Shamayim. V'heim achachmos hanuhugim achshav sha'osim leitzonis mekam bedvarim shebekedusha. People who always poke fun at holy things. Until in your own mind it loses its holiness. Ki adua heitev l'misha baki b'chachmos v'leitzonis eilem. As is well known to the experts in leitzonis. Who knew there were experts in leitzonis? Zos hamaniya v'habilbo hu garua me'akol. Wow. Says Rabbi Nachman. It's that way of thinking. When you stop caring because everything's a big joke to you, your own life becomes a big joke, your averos are a joke, mitzvos are a joke, God is a joke, the world is a joke, everything's a big joke. So that's the worst. That's the most dangerous thing of all. Because these new ways of thinking cause the ultimate blockage in bilbo. It can make you so sarcastic and so cynical and so negative. Ki kol derachav nasin lo mishor chas v'shalom. Al yidei ha-chachmos heinshav le-sofia she-zos ha-chachma mazekes bevadeh ma'od ma'od. Rabbi Nachman is very against the study of philosophy. There's many pieces in Sichos Sarran that express that idea. But there's this cynical attitude that just, you know, plows over all Kedusha and destroys it. V'chein, second paragraph, third paragraph. V'chein ha-chachmos v'leitzonos hanal. And similarly, this type of philosophical approach, or this type of leitzanis, shel anashim hanidim kekshevim, people who present themselves again as fine individuals, ki mazekes gam kin ma'od ma'od, it can be so damaging. Ki be'emes hakol echad, because in truth it's really one and the same. And this is a powerful point that Rabbi Nachman makes. Ki achachmos v'leitzanis shelahem, hi mamish kmo afiros shel hafilosofia. That people who mock and ridicule, in many ways, they're trying to get to the same goal, that the same rejection of Torah and its values that philosophy is targeting. And sometimes scoffing, sometimes leitzanis, sometimes being cynical and sarcastic is even more deadly than a really brilliant, you know, philosophical approach as to why God doesn't exist. Sometimes it resonates in a stronger and scarier and deeper way. Rav Shlomo Volbi one time, the great Mashkiach, one time gave a shmus. And there was a bachur came over to me afterwards. He said, Rebbe, that was such a powerful shmus, I could never let it go. He said, that was like, that was the most shmus that's going to change my life. He says, it was such a powerful shmus, I could never let go of such a shmus. So Rav Volbi said, I could remove the whole shmus with three words. I can undo the whole thing with three words. So the Bachar was very taken aback. So he says, Sir Volbi, what could you say with three words to undo the entire shmuz? Such a powerful Musar shmuz. It hit home in such a deep way. What could you possibly say to undo the whole thing? In three words? Sir Volbi said, yes. Ha, ha, ha. He said, ha, ha, ha. Just laugh at it. And it rips the whole thing to shreds. That's what Rabbi Nachman's saying here. Scarier than a brilliant, because not everyone can follow the philosophical argument. You know? Not everyone can chop that, right? But leitzanis, it's easy to join the crowd and start laughing along. So Rabbi Nachman says you have to be really, really careful, really, really careful. Ki machmas hafilosofia kol barchim, ki rov Yisrael im barchim beod mefilosofia. Right, philosophy, a lot of Jews are wary of philosophy. They don't want to get involved with philosophy. They know that it's dangerous. But the leitzanis and the like, people are drawn in. People like a good laugh. Right? People like a person who's witty and funny and clever. It's not as intimidating as a brilliant professor of philosophy. And that can be unbelievably damaging to one's Yiras Shamayim, it is connection to a Kaddish Baruch. Okay? To be sensitive to the time, we're going to jump to source number two. Because Rabbi Nachman was not someone who opposed having a good time. In fact, Rabbi Nachman told us that laughter and silliness is one of the main ways that we're able to survive the harshness of this world. The Lakutei Eitzos, Rabbi Nachman writes in the entry for Simcha in Os Chavtes, Rabbi Nachman writes, we'll just read where it's bolded. He says, how does a person navigate this world? Sometimes life is so dark and depressing and so upsetting. So how does a person maintain, you know, the Simcha Tamid? How do you keep that smile on your face? So he writes, where it's bolded, Gam kama pa'amim tzrichim l'sameach es atzma al yedei milei dishtusa. That a person sometimes has to bring joy to himself by doing what? Ridiculous things. Right? Silly things, absurd things. Right? Funny things, strange things. Milei debidichusa. You know, a bantchin is a jester, a jokester. Right? You have to be able to do that. Umei riboi tzaras ha'adam shesobo kol echad beguf benefesh v'mamon. And all the tzaras that a person bears in this world, in body and soul, financial hardship, sometimes it's so crushing. So how do you rise above it? Al kol panim, al kain, al pi rov, ein yecholin l'sameach es atzmo, kim al yedei milei d'shtusa. Sometimes a person feels so weighed down by physical struggles or emotional struggles or financial struggles that the only way he can get through is what? He needs to laugh. He needs to go on YouTube to watch some comedy routine. If he's a Ben Torah, he writes clean comedy routine. You know? A few less curse words. Right? But we need that. We need that sometimes to... I remember one time Rav Weinberger was talking to someone. He told us he was talking to someone. And this guy was like all bummed out about something. And he's asking like Rav Weinberger, like, what should I learn? Like, what should I do? Like, I need chizuk, Rabbi. Rav Weinberger said, you don't need a safe right now. You need like a Coke and a good pastrami sandwich. Like, just go enjoy something, you know? Like, just cheer yourself up. Like, what's the right safe to respond to how? Like, go get a good pastrami sandwich. Nice cold Coke, you know? Some fries, you'll be fine. Everything will be good. So Rabbeinu understood that milei d'shtusa is a heilige thing. Right? Milei d'bidichusa, laughter and joking and silliness, sometimes that saves a person, mamish. Lasos atzmo keshota kedei lavo l'simcha, right? Act sometimes crazy just to be able to make yourself smile. Do something absurd and funny just to get a good laugh out of it. To make yourself smile. Shekol achiyos beguf v'nefesh toloi b'zeh. Sometimes big things happen in Shemayim. Again, we don't know exactly what Rabbeinu was talking about here, how this works, right? How exactly joking around and being silly, right, makes big yichudim in Shemayim. But Hashem likes to see His children happy. Parents like when their children are happy. I can tell you, as a parent of four children, B'anara, I like when my children are happy. And when my children are not happy, it makes me unhappy. So Hashem likes when we're happy. And sometimes we have to do silly things and ridiculous things in order to be happy. Sometimes just to smile, to laugh. That can save a person's life. It's the story of Simcha Bunu of Prashischa. One time he saw someone, he was walking, there was someone who fell into a river and they were struggling to get to survive. And it was dangerous. The guy looked at the guy was gonna die. People were too scared to jump in, they were scared they'd get pulled under. So Rav Simcha, this guy is like ready to give up. Mama's ready to give up. And drown. And Rav Simcha Bunim says to him, give a shalom aleichem to the Levyasan for me. And the big sea creature, you know? And the guy, he screamed that out. And the guy started laughing. He literally started cracking up in the water. And it gave him like this new fervor. And I like, it was so absurd that like, you know, like say hi to the Levyasan, you know, somewhere under the water or maybe somewhere on the other side. Like give the Levyasan a shalom aleichem for me. And it made him laugh. You know, maybe he spit up some of the water that he was choking on and saved his life. So to be able to laugh is a chashuv thing, right? But you have to be so careful when we're talking about Torah, leitzanis in Torah. They're mamish opposites. A malik is the anti everything in kedusha, and a malik is associated chazal all the time with what? With leitzanis. Amalek who ridicules. You come out of Mitzrayim and the Jewish people are mamish on fire, and Amalek's like, yeah, we're not impressed. Ooh, ten makos? Nah, whatever. Not so impressive. And Amalek cools, right? In the language of the Medrash, Amalek cools off the bath. You know, they jump into the scalding hot bath and cool it off for everyone else. There was a bacher who once came to Rabbi Akiva Eger. A young man, big talmid chacham, said he wants to marry Rabbi Akiva Eger's daughter. Okay? So one of the things they used to do in Europe to test people, you know, when someone would come, they would put out food and they would see like what food you would take first. I don't know why that was always like the test. I heard like these stories, like they put out food to see like, you know, if you were holding in Birchas Hananin, if you knew like what, you know, that Mizonos comes before Hayitz, for example. But they would make it like intentionally tricky, you know. So you'd have like olives cut in half, but like a whole apple. So like olives shivas haminim versus like a whole fruit, a half fruit. What do I like the most? Anyways, Rabbi Akiva Eger puts out some food for this young man, and they're talking Torah, and he's waiting to see what he's gonna pick. So he picks an egg. Shaka. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, why did you pick an egg? So he says, because the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Ches, when it describes Avram Avinu's travels, it says that Avram traveled, Take Misham Bahara, Mikedem LeBeisel, V'yet Ahalo, Beis El Miyam, V'ha'oi Mikedem, V'ha'ai Mikedem. And the Ai camped to the, we're situated to the east. V'ha'ai Mikedem. But an eye is a play on the word for beitzah, for egg. So he said, va'ai mikedem means the egg comes first. Kedem means not just east, but it means kodem. Va'ai mikedem. So Rabbi Akiva Eger looks at him, he says, and this guy thought he was like being so creative, no? Like, I'm so funny. Ha ha, va'ai mikedem, the egg comes first. And I pull that pasuk out of Parshas Lech Lecha, being all clever, all creative. Right? So Rabbi Akiva Eger looks at him and he says, what does that have to do with Birchas Hananin? He's like, what does that have to do with halachos of brachos? And he's like, no, it's just like, I'm just making a joke, you know, like, just trying to be creative. He's like, I don't understand, you're making like a joke out of halacha, or you're making a joke out of like the pasuk? Like what? Like what's the joke? Like which part's the joke? Well, okay, guess I'm not getting this shit, huh? Needless to say, that was the end of that. He's like, I don't understand. Like, my daughters want to marry like a jokester. You're making late sonnets out of halal. Like, what do you? Like, I don't understand. Like, what do you? Which part about Hashem's Torah is funny to you? Okay, so much for that idea. You know. So again, you know, you have Rabbi Nachman on the one hand saying like, yeah, milei d'shtusa, like go for it. Milei d'shtusa is good. It's going to save your life. And then you have Rabbi Akiva Eger saying to a bacher, who was a brilliant bacher, who was talking deep Torah, and made one Torah joke. And he's like, no, this is not for my daughter.
Maybe.
I don't know. I have no idea. But the point I'm trying to show you, because Rabbeinu himself says, Late Sonis is Garua Me'akol. Right, so you have to be mechalik. The point I'm trying to make is you have to be mechalik between being able to misamech yourself, but being so careful that leitzanis, God forbid, doesn't undermine Torah. It doesn't undermine God. Right, one joke, ha ha ha, could throw out the whole shmooze. The first thing the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 3, one of the very first things the Rama begins Shulchan Aruch, Rav Moshe Isserles, in his notes on the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, "V'lo yizbayish v'pnei b'nei adam ha-mal'igim alav b'avodas Hashem yizbach." One of the first things the Rama begins, he says, you should just know, there are going to be people who make fun of you. That's part of being a Jew. There's going to be people who are mal'igim alav, who mock you for your Yiddishkeit. And lo yizbayish, don't be ashamed, don't be afraid. You have to have the courage, you have to not be embarrassed, right? To stand up for your for your Jewish values. So Rav Huttner writes in a letter in the Pachad Yitzchak in source number 4, Rav Huttner says, why did the Ramah begin all of Shulchan Aruch with this? I mean, Rabbi Yosef Cairo got the first word. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch, right? Yisgaber Ka'ari, jump out of bed like a lion in the morning. But the Ramah begins, the Ramah begins by saying the first thing you need to know to be a Jew is not to be embarrassed when people make fun of you for being a Jew. However, you wear your yarmulke at the office. It's not popular maybe in certain environments. It's not a choice. It's first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So, Rav Huttner says in the Pachad Yitzchak, he says what? He says, why did the Ramah start with this? So he goes on and explains, and again, I'm just being sensitive to the time because we have to be in the Beis Medrash in about 20 minutes for a Shloshim Azkara for Rav Tendler. Zatzal. One of the great Torah personalities in America, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva Bar Yeshiva, passed away about 30 days ago. Relative of Moshe Feinstein, very close link over there to the illustrious Feinstein family, so we need to pay kavod and hear Divrei Hasid and Divrei Torah in the Beis Medrash. So I'll just summarize it outside. You'll take a look at it if you care when you have a chance. But Rav Huttner writes in the Pachad Yitzchak essentially that in the ikvus of the Mashiach at the end of days there's going to be an increased chutzpah in the world. We see it. There's a certain chutzpah in the world. It's what it says in the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Sota. We're going to live in a world where people can say whatever they want. You can make fun, you can laugh, you can ridicule. You can tear anything down, anything that's holy, anything that's rooted in real values can just be kicked aside so readily. So Rav Moshe Isserles makes a play on the words, B'nai Yisrael Yoitzim Biyad Ramah, that's what they say, right? The Jewish people left Mitzrayim Biyad Ramah with outstretched hands and armed. They were armed when they left Mitzrayim. But B'nai Yisrael Yoitzim, we also go out of Golus Biyad Ramah, through the Ramah. The Ramah was the great Ashkenazi posek who added his notes on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah is telling us from step one, he's saying, I'm going to give you the mission statement for the remainder of Golus. And the mission statement for the remainder of Golus is, and this is the final Nisayon, so to speak, are you going to be a proud Jew or not? That's what it comes down to. There's going to be people who make fun of you for being a Yid. Are you going to be a proud Jew? Or are you going to be a wimpy Jew? Do you stand by your values? Right? Courageously, with a little bit of a siras nefesh, or not. That's the final test. And Rabbi Nachman says, and you need to be really guarded because there's nothing more destructive, even more destructive than philosophy, which Rabbi Nachman hated, is cynicism and sarcasm and ridicule, people who make fun of things and make nothing important. I was thinking about this last night and I was thinking of a few examples in our parsha, this coming week's parsha. It's always good to live with the times. Tzadikim say, V'chol abe'eros in source number 5, Asher chafru avde aviv bimei Avram aviv, sitmum plishtim. All of the wells that Avram Avinu dug, what happened? The plishtim filled them up with dirt. Avram's trying to dig out a water well, and the plishtim keep filling it up, and Yitzchak keeps working to try to redig the wells, to redig his father's wells. Says the Kotzker Rebbe, Chavar, please take a look inside, says the Kotzker Rebbe in source number 6, Be'eros Hamayim, what are the water wells? Nu Avram Zalman, what's a water well? Torah. It's a place to draw to. Ein Mayim el Torah. Be'eros Hamayim, Hema Madregos. Ki Mayim u Torah. Right? Digging wells means uncovering. That's what digging is. Uncovering something deep, something pure. Mayim, Torah. Torah values. So Avram Avinu is digging and digging and digging. And what happens? Vayisatmum Pelishtim. And the plishtim, what? Vayisatmum. They clog them up. They keep filling the wells. Explains the Kotzker in source number 6, where it's bolded, perish, sheim osu mizeh stam. What does it mean, vayisatmum? The pashup shot means, right, to fill in, to fill up. But the word is also related to stam. They made everything stam. What does it mean they made everything stam? They made everything regular. Nothing's chashiv. Nothing's important. There's no hierarchy of values. Everything is equal. They made it stam. Avram Avinu has a mission. He's dedicated. He's digging. He's uncovering. He's revealing. He's helping people to discover their potential. He's discovering God in the world. He's uncovering. He's pulling back the curtain and exposing the inner reality of the world. And the plishtim, who throughout Tanakh are associated with Leitzanus, stam. Fill in the wells. Shehem osu mizas stam. They make everything stam. Make everything stam. Why we're always close to the Beis Yaakov? I never could find it inside. But the Beis Yaakov says, the Ishbitzer says, that the antithesis of Kedusha, the Hippach HaKedusha, is Dvarim Shal Mabakach. The opposite of Kedusha is Dvarim Shal Mabakach. In other words, where everything is, whatever, it is what it is. Stam. Nothing's important. Nothing's chashiv. Shayusibos shetzarech liyos kein be'etzem. V'lo evinu shehu hem mechidushim b'avodas Hashem nisbach. V'asum izah stam. They made everything Avram did, stam. Even if Avram discovered something big, then it's not as big as you think. Right? Not just that they blocked it up. But one of the ways that they undermined it is not even by rejecting it, it's just by saying it's not as important as you think. It's not chashuv. And that is unbelievably destructive. That is so dangerous when a person looks at the important things in life, the real things in life, and it's just stam. It causes such a blockage in the heart and in the mind. How about another example from the Parsha? How about Yaakov purchasing the Bechorah from Esav for a bowl of soup? You know what the Bechorah was? You know what the schus of the Bechorah was? Spiritually, in terms of avoda, financially, what the Bechorah offered, you'd have to be out of your mind to trade the Bechorah for a bowl of soup. And it's verse number 7, Vayakov nasan le'esav lechem nezir adashim. Yaakov transfers a bowl of soup, a little bit of bread, and Esav's busy enjoying the soup. Right? After he gave the firstborn rights to Yaakov, Vayakov vayelech, he gets up and he goes his way. Look at the next words. Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechorah. And Esav mocked the Bechorah. Very, very interesting. There's so much deep spiritual, psychological truth that are revealed in those four words. Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechorah. Because the Gemara in Bava Basra, many of the Talmidim and why you were learning this year, Bava Basra daf tezayin mabez, the Gemara says that Esav actually did five averos that day. Rabbi Yochanan says, Chamesh averos aver osa rasha ba'osu ayom. Esav did five averos that day. Number one, he was intimate. He had relations with a Nara Murasa, an engaged young woman. Number two, Haragas HaNefesh, he killed someone that day. Kafar Be'ikar, he slandered God, he spoke against God that day, denied the truth of Hashem's existence. Kafar B'tchias HaMesim, he denied Tchias HaMesim. Oh, and also V'shates HaBechorah. And he also scorned, ridiculed, and mocked the Bechorah. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Pretty big of errors, no? He slept with an engaged girl. He murdered someone. He denied God's existence. He denied Tchias HaMesim. And he made fun of the Bechorah. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, such a simple insight in the Mayan Beis HaShoeva, this week's Parsha. V'hine av shagamara sham lo made kol averos mein bekros. By the way, the Gemara there, says Rav Schwab, learns each of these five averos from specific words in the Pasuk and in those psukim. B'chevra, which avera is explicit, crystal clear in the Pasuk? There's only one avera. Of all the five averos he did that day, there's only one that's openly written about in the Pasuk. The Torah doesn't say he killed someone that day. We derive based on Chazal make a drasha to figure out he killed someone that day. That's the tradition. It's hinted to in the Pasuk. Which one is explicit in the Pasuk? That Esav mocked the Bechorah. Why did Hashem choose to write that one? Why did Hashem choose that one? If he was intimate with the Nara Murasa that day, if he was Kofar Be'ikar, why did Hashem choose to write that Esav made fun of the Bechorah? Says the Mayan Beis HaShoeva, says Rav Schwab, where it's underlined, Mikol Makom, Beferish Ksiv Rak Vayivaz Esav Es HaBechorah. The one that's explicit in the Torah is that Esav ridiculed the Bechorah. You know why? Shakosav melamdenu shezeh hayachet hayoser garua. Because of all the five averos that he did, you know what his biggest avera was? You know what Esav's biggest crime was? You know why here we are at the end of 2000, the longest galus of history, we still haven't figured out how to undo it? Because we're going up against the descendants of Esav, which is what? Which is mockery and ridicule. And that, the damaging effect of that is so long-lasting. One nasty, cynical comment could change your whole attitude towards something in Kedusha for your whole life. I'm not being dramatic. I'm not trying to be dramatic. You know, I don't like to be dramatic just for dramatic effect. It's really true. The way that a person speaks about Dvar Mishav Kedusha, you could develop a cynical attitude to think it's a nothing. And it could be one of the Yesodos HaTorah. spend your whole life thinking this is not important. This is not like a... Yeah, it's not a real thing. Not a real thing. It's only for like really frummy people, you know? It's not a real thing. It's not for like normal, regular Jews like myself. And Rav Schwab explains, V'hainu, She'inyin ha'tshuva hu kishamakir adam es boro u'mizbayish mimenu yizbarach u'mischaret amasha asa neged ritzono. What brings a person to tshuva, says Rav Schwab? When a person recognizes his creator, when he's embarrassed, when he has regret. The same words keep coming up over and over on this page. Having the humility to be embarrassed when you do an avera. It's okay you do averas. It's okay in the sense that you're human and Hashem understands. We're imperfect. Right? But like Rabbi Nachman started with by saying, but if not for all of the negativity, we would eventually get back on track. But when I start to convince myself it's not a big deal, I'm not even embarrassed anymore, and I don't have charata anymore, and I convince myself it's dvarm shel ma bekach, stam, it's not important, so then I'll never get back on track. Because it's not something I'm even striving to get to. So says Rav Schwab, that's really scary. If tshuva is rooted in an awareness that I did something wrong. So Esav, what does he do? Esav gets up, right, after selling the bechora, and he mocks it, he ridicules it. We'll see in a second why it's dafka after he sold the bechora that he ridicules it. It's very interesting. Again, there's a deep psychological insight in that. But again, it's garua me'akol. Rabbi Nachman said it now. Rabbi Shimon Schwab said it. So whether you're a, you know, a Breslover or a Yaki, this is for you. Okay? And if you want something in the middle, look at the Maharal. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah in source number 10. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, explaining the words of David HaMelech at the beginning of Tehillim. Mai dechsiv, what does it mean? Ashrei ha'isha asher lo halach ba'atas v'shahim. Praiseworthy is the person who doesn't walk following the advice of the wicked, uvederech ha'ta'im lo amad, uvemoshav leitzim lo yashav. Praiseworthy is the person. He doesn't walk with the wicked, he doesn't stand with the sinful, he doesn't sit and joke with the scoffers. Says the Gemara, v'chi me'acher shalo halach heichan amad. Well, if he doesn't even walk there, then he's obviously not going to stand there. He's not going to stay there. And if he's not going to stand there, he's certainly not going to sit there. So what exactly is David HaMelech telling us? Says the Gemara in the third line, Elolomer lecha, She'im halach sofa lamod. If you start to dabble, if you just like walk past that place, eventually you're gonna stop and you're going to stand there. You're not going to sit down with them. Not part of the chevra. V'im amod, but if I stand there, eventually I'll sit down. Sofa leshiv. And if I come to sit there, sofo la lutz, eventually I'll come to what? I'll join in the jokes. V'im lutz, and if I become a leitz, then my whole life becomes a life of what? A life of leitzanus. A love akas of omer. Im chachamta, chachamta lach. If you become wise, you become wise for yourself. V'latzta levad chatisa. But your leitzanus, you bear alone. In other words, your wisdom will stay by you, but your leitzanus is a burden you're going to schlep around the rest of your life. It's going to be really hard to be an emistic and sincere person if you become a cynical and sarcastic person. So says the Maharal, in the Nesiv HaLeitzanus in source number 11, says the Maharal, a very simple insight. Look what the Gemara is telling us. Again, look at the pattern that's being described here. What's the Gemara telling us? That first you're going to come to walk, and then you're going to come to stand, and then you're going to come to sit. What's going on here? Says the Maharal in the second parak of the Nesiv HaLeitzanus. Biur zeh, kol davar nimshach l'tachlis shalom. Everything moves towards its purpose. Everything moves towards its goal. U'lefichach, meaning what? Lefichach amar, shim halach v'halicha eina hashlama, shekol halicha hi lahagiel tachlis, you have to understand your movements matter. The direction that you're heading in is going to move towards greater permanence. The choices you make, right, solidify your life. If you choose to walk, it's not like, yeah, I'm just dabbling. What do you mean you're dabbling? When you dabble in things, so now you're tasting it. Once you start to taste it, you might come to enjoy it. Once you enjoy it, it might become who you are. It might become the essence of you. So the halicha, again, it's whether you think it's, you know, purposeful or not, the moves you make have purpose. They move you in a direction. Halicha litzu amida, shamida yoser karv el gemar, because standing is closer to a sense of, right? Moving, walking, shows a lack of permanence. Standing already in a place is indicative of a greater sense of gemar, of completion, of tachlis. Sharei eno holech od, rak she'eno gemar. Not completely at rest, right? But I'm more at rest. Aval ha-yeshiva, what happens when I sit down and I find my place? That's a greater sense of permanence. So says the Maharal, what the Gemara is telling us is that what? Val ze amar. Once you sit down, then sofo lis lotzeitz. Hu ha-maisa shumavakesh lasos. You may not realize that what? There's a natural part of ourselves, Maharal is saying, that wants to gravitate towards what? Towards leitzanus. You know why? Because it makes life a lot easier. If everything's a big joke, if nothing's important, if everything's dvarim shel mablakach, if everything's stam, then I don't have to feel bad about anything. I don't have to feel pressure to anything. My learning doesn't matter. My doubting doesn't matter. My lashon hara doesn't matter. My shmiras einayim doesn't matter. My Shabbos doesn't matter. My kashrus doesn't matter. My brachos doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Nothing matters, and life is carefree. So there's a natural gravitation towards what? Towards leitzanus. And the Gemara says, here's how it goes. First you're going to like walk past Leitz Anas. Then you're going to want to stand next to Leitz Anas. Then you're going to sit down, and then you're going to become a Leitz. Then you're going to become a big joke. It's interesting. I told you that the Plishtim represents the Koach of Leitz Anas. A Malik and the Plishtim usually are the two forces in the Torah that we associate with Leitz Anas. And David HaMelech is the one who begins Sefer Tehillim, right, by sort of countering the Leitz Anas. Again, I'm going to say something B'derach Remez, but you can just think about it. We know that David HaMelech lived how long? 70 years. Where did he get his 70 years from? Adam. Right? He got it from Adam. Adam was supposed to live 1,000. And Adam donated 70 years. How long did Adam live? 930. Okay? So the Sfarim talk about, and you have to, I'm not going to go into it now, but just so you should think about it, that if David HaMelech comes from Adam, he took the 70 years from Adam, and the other 930 is Adam, which means it kind of represents all of humanity. But it's interesting that the gematria of the word late is 930. Because Sa'adi Sofit is a 900, right? The Sofit letters are 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 in gematria. So the Sa'adi Sofit is 900. So late is 930. Which means that David somehow, right, being the 70 of the 1,000, sort of is like the antidote to the 930. I mean, the antidote. Well, Adam was so bad. I'm not saying Adam was so bad. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going into it now. Right, but David HaMelech, in a sense, is withdrawn from Leitz Anas. He's that portion that's taken away from the Leitz of the world, so to speak. And that's why David HaMelech begins his magnum opus. He begins his Tehillim by saying, Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the man who doesn't walk that path that every human being gravitates towards, which is what? Which is, I want a more carefree lifestyle. I don't want responsibility. And Achrayas, yeah. And take him back. You're saying there's an element of... Right. Meaning, what do you do when... And this will bring us to our final point, right? And it's a good point. What do you do when you made that bad choice? Right. So let's say Adam regretted giving 7 years to David HaMelech, right? He wants it back. So what do you do when you realize that the choice you made actually did matter? So as we're learning today, and it's been hinted to a few times, but now we're going to say it very explicitly, you have two choices. You could say, I made a mistake, I'm embarrassed, and I'm sorry. That's the mature and responsible thing to do. Or you could do what? Or you could say, it's not a big deal. Who cares? Who cares? You know, the famous Aesop's fables with the sour grapes. You know, the fox that wanted to get the grapes, and when it couldn't get the grapes, it just, sour grapes. Not good anyways. I'll just admit, you couldn't get what you wanted. You don't have to, the grapes are still good. Well, now the grapes are bad because you couldn't get them. That's exactly, Havdil, but that's exactly what Esav does. He sells the Bechora. He sells the Bechora because he has a lack of appreciation for it. But then he doubles down on it. Instead of saying when he finally satisfied his taiva, when he ate the soup and the bread, he should have said, that was a really stupid trade. I should never have done that. I have a lot of charata. Maybe Hashem can help me to somehow get my Bechora back in some way. Maybe Hashem can reward me for my tshuva. Instead, Esav doubles down on his mistake, and what does he do? He says, you know what? Stupid Bechora. Vayivez Esav es Bechora. The Maharal says, again, the last line of source 11, Mizet tilmud koshi aleitzonus. Again, the Maharal, again, just want to emphasize, whether it's Rabbi Nachman, or whether it's Rishim and Shua, whether it's Maharal, they all say the same thing, which is what? That leitzonus is kosher mikulam. It is the most poisonous thing in the world. Being a mocker, being a scoffer, being a late is the most dangerous thing in the world. Look at the final source. Rav Henoch Leibovich was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva in America. 2008, he passed away. Beautiful volumes called Chidushei Halev. It's like Sichos Musar. It's like Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's Sichos Musar. Very sharp, insightful, very deep psychological insight. Beautiful. No one learns the Sefer, unfortunately. Not enough. Not enough people even know about it, but it's a beautiful Sefer. So he writes in this week's Parsha. He says, what happened with Esav? Why does Esav make fun of the Bechora dafka after the sale? Look what he asks. V'nei kosha b'einenu. Lama b'hashinoi achar mechira. Why does the Torah specifically tell us that after Esav sold the Bechora, then he gets up and then he makes fun of the Bechora? He obviously didn't like it beforehand also. That's why he sold it. Rashi tells us he didn't like it already. He was nervous about it. To be a Kohen in Beis HaMikdash is a big responsibility. I could die doing the Avodah. There's a lot of rules. It's very scary. Why afterwards does the Torah highlight the fact that he made fun of it? Very kodem ha-mechira haven is erach ha-bechora u-machir rak b'vnei shapachad shu holech l'mus al yada. And maybe he did have a little bit of an appreciation before he sold it. He just sold it because he was scared it was going to cost him his life. Kohen Beis HaMikdash has a lot of rules. I don't want to do the Avodah. It's too scary. If I'm tamei, I can mess something up. But he at least understood it was an important thing. So lama achra ha-mechira nishtana daito shlohevin od as archa ubizosa. So why all of a sudden after he sold it, now it doesn't have any value? Now he makes fun of it. So explains Rav Henoch Leibovitz. He says the following: Ro'im anu kan limud chashum b'kochos hanefesh al adam. Chaver, the final paragraph. We learn from here a very deep insight into the nature of human, the human mind, the human heart, the way that we act. Kodam ha-mechira hem min Esav shuholech lamus. Why did Esav think I can't handle this? Because he was such a Baal Taiva, and he was so hungry for that soup. So he came up with an explanation as to why the Bechor is dangerous and not good for him. Bishum sheta'avasu lahastikas nezira adashim. He so badly wanted that lentil soup that it was what? It caused an iver. It made him blind in his eyes. And it confused his mind. Baram la'acher shehisigas ta'avasu. But after he fulfilled his desire, as so often happens, when a person satisfies that craving, that desire, whatever it may be, hikiras ha'emes, and he says afterwards, come on, what's wrong with me? The pleasure wasn't as good as I imagined it to be. And whatever excuses I made to convince myself it's not a big deal, I don't believe any of those. And then what happens? Esav becomes what? He feels guilty. Va'oz yasruhu kil Yosef. His kidneys, his kishkas were what? Were burning. Ach, machar es becharasa. What did I do? I just traded away my bechor for a bowl of soup. I had such a taiva for soup. I traded away my bechor for a bowl of soup. So you know what he needed to do? Says Rav Henoch, he says, v'hutzuch l'chadish philosophia chadasha. So you know what you do? You gotta come up with a new philosophy. Right? Because he realized, nah, it's not, it's worth it. The dangers of the Bechor is worth it. I only convinced myself it's too dangerous because I was such a Baal Taiva. But now that my Taiva has been satisfied and I realized that was stupid, so now I have to be embarrassed at the fact that I made a really bad choice. So I could be mature and say, I'm sorry and I'm embarrassed and Hashem, please forgive me. And I can cry over my mistake, or I could double down on my mistake and levazel says a bechora, and I can make fun of the bechora. And that's what Esav did. Because it's easier to just mock and to ridicule and to say, who cares about the stupid bechora anyways, right, than it is to be an emistic person who's willing to admit that he made a mistake. So this is what Rabbi Nachman says, you gotta watch out. You gotta watch out. There are people in the world, there are ideas in the world, there are feelings in the world that can be the biggest poison. More poisonous than the smartest philosophical, you know, philosophy professor on any university who can give you a whole explanation why Torah is not true. But a person who, like Revolvi said, after giving that awesome schmooze, and the Bachar said, well, the greatest schmooze I ever heard, I can knock it out with three words, ha, ha, ha. I can uproot the whole thing. It's really true. I'll just end. Chazal say that one bit of Leitzanis could undo 100 schmoozing. That one bit of Leitzanis can undo 100 tochachos, which means someone gave you tochach, gave you musar properly 100 times, and you took it to heart. And one little joke could uproot the whole thing. There's a lot there, a malik also. Amalek has a lot to do with 100 and 101, 100 tochachos and one bit of laughter, because Amalek is Amel Kuf. So even if you were worked hard at 100, you listen to 100 shirim, 100 musar shmuz, and try to better yourself. Amalek comes along with one little joke, and they knock the whole thing down. So we should be zochet to surround ourselves. Again, Rabbi Nachman was a big proponent. He believed in milei d'shtusa and milei b'dichusa. He liked a good laugh, right? But never at the expense of Torah, never at the expense of Kedusha. Because that could mamish destroy a person's connection to Hashem. Okay? Let's hustle across the hall.